So when I'm talking about these systems of slavery, I talk a lot about the propaganda apparatus aspects of the system of slavery quite consistently, because it's more important than anything you get to vote for. Before they can rig the ballot boxes, they've got the whole system rigged. Now, before you even get to the media corporations, there's a thing called the Electoral College. The people who are already in power are dictating who can and cannot stand for election. And those people who are, you know, in the Electoral College themselves consist partially of people who have never been elected. They're there just by, you know, appointment from one generation to the next. So there is an Electoral College, which is fully acknowledged. If you look up what an Electoral College is on Wikipedia, it's an uncontroversial fact that the democracy is rigged by the Electoral College. It's not what we the people want. It's what we the people want, restricted by the Electoral College saying who we can and cannot vote for. Now, that is a horrible situation when you wake up to it, and you might be thinking that's a nutty conspiracy theory, but you'll see that even the conspirators will acknowledge that part of how fake the democracy is. But they don't want, they don't tell you about electoral colleges when you're going through school, being told how it is you can get to vote and stuff like that in a free society. The system's rigged, basically. But they don't want their slaves to know this. They don't teach people this at school. And so, you know, they use the propaganda apparatus. These media corporations dictate who can and cannot get the publicity that they need in order to get political power. And they'll engage in character assassinations against people who were, or they were on board with, who've turned against them. They'll character assassinate them. Or he might have raped a child. A new report has revealed that, you know, the media, I'm going to say the BBC, it's the European Broadcasting Union. The BBC is no longer like the British Broadcasting Union. It's controlled by the European Broadcasting Union, which is a political organisation that's part of the core apparatus of the European Union's political system, which has nothing to do with democracy or human rights or anything that it pretends. But, you know, it's not restricted to the European Union. This is going on in various different countries. I've mentioned Tiananmen Square in China. Media corporations are more important than anything you get to vote for. You're just an object, a beast of burden that's being taxed of your labour, not of your money, because it's their money. You know, you basically need that money in order to buy the food and shelter you need, and the only way you can get that is through your labour, and you need to give away 2/3 of your labour through various taxes and fines and stuff like that. Licence fees, the various monies that are demanded by the government that creates money out of thin air. The only way you can get your hands on that money is through your labour. So they're basically taking your labour, giving it to their friends who can buy your labour for nothing, because the money is manufactured for free. So, you know, we're talking about a real sophisticated system of slavery which exists. And, you know, it's not complicated when you realise it's a system of slavery, and you start to see consistency in the narratives that you'll see on these, like television, for example. But of course that's the truth, because you're already aware of the simple truth that they want you to never see and be in an endless bewilderment from the cradle to grave while they're basically enslaving you all life long. That's what they did to your parents, that's what they did to your brothers and sisters. And you'll find that when your granny died of cancer, she was actually killed off because she was no longer economically convenient to them. Cancer is not caused by smoking or eating hot dogs. It's caused by, the thing that kills a person who has been diagnosed with cancer is tumours. And the tumours is not caused by smoking or eating hot dogs. The tumours is caused by radiotherapy. The tumour is caused by radioactive pills like radium. This was known to Marie Curie way back, when radium was first isolated as an element in the periodic table. They're basically killing the slaves that are no longer of economic use to them. People that have never had lives to lead. People that have never... You know, some people have maybe had children in the hope that their children will maybe liberate themselves from this horrible situation. But the people that they're killing off, don't even realise they're being killed off. You know, they're running to their doctor saying, "Oh, doctor, you've diagnosed me with cancer. Well, what can I do about it?" It's, well, if you take the faith-based healing approach, it's like, well, That's it, you know, like take a, I don't know, like go into the local park, pick a daisy, eat the daisy there, you're cured of cancer. But if you take the radioactive pills or radiotherapy, you will get tumours and the tumours will kill you. They'll maybe organise it so you go into, you know, regression. You know, they'll say the cancer is going away and then they'll say, right, okay. In order to keep the cancer away, keep eating the radioactive pills and going to radiotherapy till you're eventually killed off by a system that's murdering you and you don't even notice it. You're actually begging your killer to slash your own throat. Well, that's what they did to your granny and your brothers and your sisters and your mothers and your fathers and all these people that have died of cancer. And now they're into COVID-19 and they're blaming people who denounced their Nuremberg Code violations. Very serious crimes against humanity, and you didn't even notice it if you believe the media. So this whole audio cast is about what's going on in the media. So I live in Britain. The BBC is the most prominent form of terrorist propaganda going on in Britain right now. So I'm going to just go on the seven stories of the BBC just to give you an idea what it is to be, you know, what they would call a nutty conspiracy theorist. This is how I perceive these headlines. So UN climate talks fail to secure new fossil fuel promises is the first of seven headlines I'm going to deal with here, right? And it's just the headlines for today on the BBC's .co.uk website as seen from a British IP address, right? So the date is the 22nd of November 2025, just in case you're wondering. So UN climate talks fail to secure new fossil fuel promises. Now, it's funny how the BBC are covering a protest that happened in Brazil, and yet there's protests in British streets that they consider to be not newsworthy, such that the people 10 miles away from Tiananmen Square do not realise there's protests going on in Tiananmen Square. Well, the Chinese Communist Party are telling them about protests going on in Brazil. This whole climate change thing is a bizarre state of affairs because weather is always changing. It's always been changing since the day dot. And, you know, climate change, that's the weather is going to be changeable for quite some time to come. That's the news, you know. And what they're saying is man-made climate change. So let's have a look at this. So I go up to a supermarket in Britain. The equivalent of Walmart is Asda. It's a supermarket. And I need to pay for carrier bags to, you know, carry my groceries, my messages, as we call it in Scotland. You know, I need to carry my messages to the car or home, or, you know, and I need a carrier bag. Because of climate change, they've decided to start charging me for a carrier bag, which used to be just like a free courtesy that the supermarket would provide their patrons who are buying their products. These are supermarkets that introduce electronic tills. Do you know how much energy is involved in these electronic tills? Like how much carbon neutral that is? You know, you go into McDonald's, you go into these, but and they've got now they've got big touch screen, big enormous bright touch screens. You never had that before. You know, and these people are on about, oh, we need to reduce our climate change. We need to. It's bullshit. It's what was described as greenwash. These are people who claim carbon dioxide is a poisonous gas that's killing off the world and we need to get rid of carbon dioxide. But the plants breathe carbon dioxide. It's the gas of life to plants. And when plants breathe in carbon dioxide, plants breathe out oxygen. We breathe in oxygen. Without the plants, there is no oxygen. When you're taking away the plant's ability to get carbon dioxide, you're killing the plants, and by way of doing so, it's a sophisticated means of killing off the human race. And that's the official story. Carbon dioxide is a dangerous gas and we need to get rid of it. And you start questioning them on this, it's all about the oceans soak up carbon dioxide and blah blah blah. What it really means is that peasants can't go to public parks, you know, places that are designated as green areas. The peasants need to live within the industrialised cities, the concrete jungle. and you just can't live in all that empty land because, well, it's not environmentally friendly. You know, they don't want you walking in their golf courses. That's basically what it's about. It's an agenda to get, you know, there's loads of things to complain about in the world, but they want people to be complaining about the weather. And they're even using that weather in order to enhance the well-being of, you know, the rich and the wealthy and the people who are on board with those people engaged in the most gross violations of human morals, engaged in systems of slavery, disguising it as normal, despite, you know, industrial revolution and Highland clearances and the various crimes against humanity committed in the past by these systems. And they want us all staring at television and ignoring our friends and family. So, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you have to realise if you're unable to wake up your family without them becoming hostile and destructive towards you, and they might even be sneakily destructive towards you, you need to be, you know, very, very careful of your own safety, because those people may have to officially be the people on birth certificates, government documents, as being your family. They might be people you've been familiarised with through, you know, the education system that the system provided, but they're not your allies. If they're hostile to the discussion of what's really going on in the world, they are not your allies. So in regards to climate change, they used to be saying global warming. I don't know if they're still saying that, but I dare say there are people that still believe that, they're still saying it too, because they are just propagandists. Well, the whole thing about climate change was started during the Cold War by the Russians, actually. So there's a lake, and Russia's got a lot of territory within the Arctic Circle. There's a lake there called Lake Vostok, and it's the deepest lake that's like ice lake, you know, in the world. And they drilled into that lake in order to, you know, work out how much carbon dioxide and how much methane gas was gathered inside the ice over, you know, for the time it was laid. It doesn't quite add up, you know, when you look at the science behind the Vostok climate data. It's like ice wasn't laid layer by layer like that inside a lake. You know, the ice sort of formed in, you know, the way, like, you know, if you put a glass of water into a freezer, the ice doesn't form layer by layer, it forms in globules that float inside the water, you know. Maybe on the surface of the water to some extent, because ice is lighter than water. But, you know, the idea of like, ice just laying itself the way they're saying, but, you know, either way, it doesn't really matter, because what I'm going to say about the Vostok climate data demonstrates, you know, to the people that believe it, that, the world is, for the past 10,000 years, has been in an interglacial period, which means like a warm period. And, you know, over the past 500,000 years, it's been going through periods of 10,000 years of warm and then 100,000 years of freezing cold conditions. And what the Vostok climate data during the Cold War by Russian scientists introduced was the idea that there's about to be an imminent global freeze. On the back of this information, we've been presented with, oh, watch out for global warming, the very opposite of what the data showed. And see, when I was younger, you know, the people that were concerned about the environment were concerned about a thing called SOXes and NOXes. That's sulfur oxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, nitrogen dioxide, which are still considered poisonous gases, but they were being, you know, pumped out by factories in the industrial revolution world that we're living in. They were being pumped out by cars. They were being pumped out by the things that rich people could afford, you know, for their workers to be enslaved within. You know, the actual, you know, if there is like an actual, if there's going to be global warming, then the culprits are actually the big rich industrialists, not the ordinary people being forced to buy a carrier bag for life and shove a low energy light bulb up their arse. But that's never covered by their protests And when you consider the actual data demonstrates global freezing, and the science behind that, you know, the ice core samples from Lake Vostok doesn't quite add up, you know. But nobody wants to investigate that. They just want the hysteria of what's on the media about, you know, all we need to protest because the world's going to be destroyed if we don't support these slavery regimes. And so the only protests they're willing to cover right now is one in Brazil. As for, you know, the Occupy movement, you know, it was 2 or 3 weeks before they thought maybe we might need to cover this now because it's already in the public awareness that is going on. You know, they weren't reporting that straight away. They weren't reporting that before it happened. You know, the BBC's kind of organised these protests in Brazil and the various other places that the COP conferences have happened. And it's all hype. The next story. Ukraine allies voice concern over US plan to end war. Now, I don't know how much you're aware of if you're just waking up to this, but you're in the middle of a World War III, except the bombs haven't dropped in your head yet. So the European Union, not an economic union of independent sovereign democracies, but a terrorist regime that's controlling the people of Europe, destroying their reputations if they don't support this terrorist regime. They are at war with Russia through Ukraine. Ukraine is the proxy puppet right now of the European Union. But traditionally, Ukraine's history is with the Russians. The European Union invaded Ukraine in 2014 with supporting the Euromaidan revolution and everything that backed the new Ukrainian regime post-Euromaidan until Vladimir Putin lent support to those people who were being destroyed by the Ukrainians within Ukraine for not supporting the revolution. So Ukraine allies is basically the European Union, the dictatorship that is manufacturing this propaganda in the BBC, for example, stealing your children, the various other crimes against humanity that they've committed, and they distract people from, and they censor, you know. They've got control over Facebook, they've got control over Instagram, they've got control over YouTube. These organisations are in cahoots with propagandists and censorship. You might find these platforms are very popular, are not conducive to the discussion of the truth. They will censor you in ways you don't even realise you're being censored. For example, if I'm to type a comment into YouTube, it appears to me that the comment arrived. When I log out of YouTube and I go to the same video, no comment appears. The person that made the video doesn't even get to see my comment, doesn't even know a comment was made, and might be thinking, you know, if he's shadow banned, there could be like tons of people making comments on his videos, but it looks like nobody's commenting. Whereas if it's one of your sort of BBC promoted YouTube videos, oh, there's tons of comments all over the place, and tons of them are bots. It's a very creepy state of affairs you're living in. So the European Union is at war with Russia through its proxy in Ukraine. Russia wants to restore the sovereignty of Ukraine, but that's not the official story, and it almost sounds like pro-Russian. You could say I'm anti-government to an extreme, where these things are systems of slavery that ought to be a historic footnote of what happened to humanity in its past. Yeah, I'm not favourable, I'm just favourable towards the truth, and that is the truth that the European Union annexed all the countries in Europe in one fell swoop and then started expanding. That's why they're attacking Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has denounced their fake democracy. That's why they're attacking Russia, because Russia's saying, hey, Ukraine's our buddy, you're not allowed to invade by diplomatic means. They didn't invade with tanks, they bribed and blackmailed installed infrastructure and stuff like that within their country. And now basically anybody that's in Ukraine that doesn't support the new regime is being slaughtered in the front line if they're not fighting with the Russians to restore the sovereignty of their country. It's not the narrative that you get to see in the BBC, but that's kind of what's going on in the world. You might not have noticed if you were believing TV. So Ukraine's allies, i.e. the European Union, voice concerns over US plan to end war. And you've got this photograph of the politicians that the media corporations have picked to be your representative, really wealthy people that are pretending to represent ordinary people who could get their children stolen by these people and the apparatchiks of these people, who are picked and chosen by media corporations long before you even get to vote for them. So they've got photographs of these people, Macron, Keir Starmer and a couple of other, you know, European Unionist terrorist gangsters. And they're voicing concern over a US plan to end a war. And the problem is not, that's a complicated situation for the BBC to deal in, because it's to acknowledge that the European Union is against the end of the war in Ukraine. The only end of the war that Ukraine wants to see is the revolution in Ukraine to be 100% successful, and all those people in Donbass, Crimea, Donetsk, Luhansk, various people that rejected European Union control over their country, who are now supported by the military force of Russia. They're a CIS country. Russia's got an obligation to protect the enslavers of Ukraine that used to exist there before the enslavers of the EU took over their country. So it's pretty much acknowledged that the European Union will not accept a situation. They don't mind how many Ukrainians get killed in the process of them making sure that they control all of Ukraine, all of the people in Ukraine, tax cattle in Ukraine. They want to control all. Russia also wants to control all the tax cattle in Ukraine, and that's what the war is about. It's not about the land, it's about the people that they can tax into the dirt. Cattle, human cattle, that's what these wars are about. So, it's not an easy thing for the BBC to sell it that, Ukraine's allies, I'm not saying the European Union, which is the truth, have voiced concerns over US plan to end war, because the European Union doesn't want the end to that war. Russia doesn't want the end to the war in the sense that, that they want all of Ukraine to be restored into the CIS group of countries, which was, something as soon as the Euromaidan had taken place in Ukraine. They rejected the CIS, the new leaders in Ukraine. And that was without the will of the Ukrainian people. It's not a democracy there either, I'm afraid to say, before or after the Euromaidan revolution. But the European Union has so up to its neck in it that it can't avoid complicity in what it's done. But it's not kind of widely reported, because officially it's we, the people of the fake democracy, that have chosen this by electing these leaders, except, hardly anybody's, half the countries no longer didn't even have faith in the political system at the point of the referendum. And given the fact that they dragged their heels over the referendum, how many people are actually, the only people that get any meaningful vote are the people that vote for whatever the European Union wants. As for anybody else, we're censored from the internet. And so, there's children born into this television dictatorship that don't even know we exist. They couldn't even comprehend where we're coming from. And as soon as they get the slightest notion of what we're saying, suddenly it's, we hate the immigrants and we love Margaret Thatcher and we're extremist, misogynist, whatever they've been told by the media, using, psychological, classical conditioning so that they're not actually saying anything but just the power of suggestion over a long repeated period of time is what's inside the minds of children that don't even know that they don't even know about what the truth is. It is disgusting. So I think I've already covered the reasons why the European Union is opposed to the end of the war. But surprisingly, Putin's going along with it. But I think the reason why Putin's going along with it is because even though he wants the whole of Ukraine to be restored to the CIS, he's got a problem in Russia, because Russia and Ukrainians are best of buddies, ancient history sort of thing, And there's Russians that have got major problems killing Ukrainians. And, I think there's a lot of oomph within Russia to say that, as much as a horrible situation, that these people are living in a different system of slavery from the traditional system of slavery that existed at least they've still got their lives, they're going to all get killed in the process. So they want to see an end to the war. Maybe not Vladimir Putin and the people at the top of the system, but the ordinary people of Russia don't want to be killing Ukrainians. If anything, you know, they might be wanting to offer them safe passage from that land over to Russia, you know. But obviously that their voice and concerns is maybe, you know, a subdued, you know, the official headline of the BBC here is Ukraine's allies voice concerns over US plan to end war. Now, I read that as a nutty conspiracy theorist, as these people would make me out to be. I read that to be the European Union is refusing to go along with a US plan. I'm not refusing, that they're trying to find some way to get out of a US plan to end a war that they started in 2014. And, you know, all along the lines they say Russia is using food as a weapon and Russia invaded, and they don't mention anything but 2014 or the various, you know, acts of state-sponsored violence against ethnic Russians within Ukraine carried out by the European Union. They don't mention any of that, you know, and they're saying Russia uses food as a weapon. So what happens if you're in welfare in Britain and there's no, like, work available? You know, the only work is available is stuff that you're going to get, like serious critical injuries over. And you're not willing to take serious injuries in order to, you're looking for welfare because there are no genuine employment opportunities available, and you get sanctioned from welfare, which means no food, no shelter, you can't afford anything, starve to death. And they say the Russians are using food as a weapon. You know, the reality is kind of startling when you look at this. So the next headline, fear and scepticism as Rees prepares for her big budget moment. First of all, Rees is a politician. And when they're dealing with the budget, they're not dealing with money, which the BBC will make it appear as. They're dealing, like, they're collecting all the labours of all the people that they're taxing. And they're divvying that up to the various people, that all of the labours that I do, 2/3 of that is taken from me and given to the government, or stolen from me by the system. And the system basically divvies all the labour that we all provide together and gives it to whom they will. Everybody must provide when they starve to death. They must provide the state with 2/3 of the labour or they'll starve to death. And they take all that labour and they divvy it up, they give it to their buddies. That's what the budget's all about, and the BBC is selling it. Oh, it's a politician that you voted for in a fake democracy. You know, when you're seeing it through the eyes of what they call a nutty conspiracy theory, you can see it and it makes sense, and they don't want you even here. They want to pervert your mind. To not, you know, it's like Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, when Jesus Christ himself is in the Gospel saying sons of God. Parroting off what was said in the Old Testament about the sons of God being many in number. You know, the fake reality show is so much that you couldn't comprehend the Bible because of all the perverted information that you received before you even read it. You know, and this is not about the Bible, this is about what's going on in your world right here, right now. And you can't even comprehend the perspective of a nutty conspiracy theorist, as they call it, because they've already perverted your mind in such a way that you'd never, you know, comprehend the nature of the Industrial Revolution, the Highland Clearances, the various crimes against humanity in the past, the system of feudalism that we've never left. They've only disguised it more. So they're selling politicians. Well, they're divvying up the fleece that they've stolen from us, which government departments are going to be getting this amount of their fleece, which government departments going to get that amount of their fleece. They're stolen it from us and we get no say over our fleece getting stolen from us, and these people do what they want with our labours and claim to be serving us. Well, we are the people that are forced to give to them whatever they want. Do they want 2/3 of a fleece? Do they want 3/4 of a fleece? They just dictate whatever they want from ours, give it to themselves. And that's what they call democracy. living the real world here. The next story. It's time running out for BBC Chair Samir Shah after latest resignation. So, you know, they're blaming it in individuals now. You know, it's like personality cult. You know, it's not that all the people at the BBC must be brought to trial at Nuremberg. There's got to be an international human rights trial so that we can reintroduce what human rights were supposed to mean. And what it's not about the right to be gay, the right to be a victim of genocide. It was the right not to be a victim of genocide. The right to found a family. That's what originally reproductive rights was about, your right as a man to have a wife and family, as a woman to have a husband and family. They've twisted that to mean the right to reproduction, or that's the right to have an abortion, that's the right to use a condom, that's the right to be gay, that's the right to be a victim of their genocide. This is shit that's sold by the whole corporation to the BBC, and they want to just blame one individual, like Tim Davies it was last week. Well, maybe if we sack him and we do it publicly, we can just blame him. I mean, I'm not saying Tim Davies is innocent, but the amount of guilty people that are, you know, pushing him out and saying, look, 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 there's a guilty person there, hate this guy. But don't look at us that are behind the scenes here writing the teleprompters. Just another personality, probably guilty. But you'll notice, you know, it's Samir Shah. Does that sound like a British name to you? You know, they are using that subtle racism in order to get people to say, well, it doesn't matter because he's not one of us. You know, the BBC are heavily involved in using racial ideologies as a means of propagandising people. I've noticed that over the years. You know, they'll never do anything that's... There are, you know, subtle racisms that go on. But as a general rule, they pretend to be completely non-racist, but they're actually manipulating people's minds, being aware that there is a certain racism. I mean, if I was black, I would like black people. I'd want to hang about with black people. If I was white, I'd want to hang about with white people. If I was chinky, I'd want to hang about with chinkies. I don't have any problem with a chinky being in my friends group. I don't have any problem with a black person being in my... But, you know, just to naturally be hanging about with people of my own race. It's not racial hatred for anyone, but it's just like a natural preference for things that you're familiar with. You know, your parents were white, your brothers and sisters were white. You know, to want to hang about with familial connections is not racism. But they realise that's going on, and they use that to psychologically manipulate people using things like classical conditioning and wee snippets of suggestions here and there. So, you know, this guy, they want to blame Samir Shah for the speech splicing that's being done in an industrialised, systemic fashion by the BBC, a propaganda outfit that's been alleging there's democracy in the UK for the past 32 years. It's dubious, you know, whether there's democracy in the first place, but I can say for absolute certainty there has been no democracy for 32 years in the UK. None. You know, as for what happened before, it was only 32 years ago I woke up. I don't know what was going on in that era. I had no, like, friends and family to advise me of what the reality was. Because when I woke up to it, they're telling me I'm crazy. And all those years later, the Brexit referendum demonstrates there never was anything democratic about it. And I've been, you know, gaslighted and deceived and cheated and lied to by people who are no longer my friends and family. Because these people had more faith in television celebrities lying through their teeth than me, their own family member. I'd rather hang about with a chink that could love me more than their television celebrities than white people that would worship the television in rejection of all that they pretend that they stand for, you know. So race to me isn't a big thing, you know, but, you know, I acknowledge that it's there. But, you know, that capacity for love, the media corporation is a corporation that's designed to destroy the human capacity to be human. Obey thy master is the only crime that they perceive of. Maybe they'll find some, like, granny lost her handbag and they'll be like, oh, look at that, look at the brave, courageous police that stepped in there. The very rare circumstances, and they're not saying that's a civil matter, there's nothing they can do about it. Do you want victim support? The granny's lost her handbag and there's nothing they're going to do about it, you know, but that's not the story that's on the BBC. But for the most part, the crimes that they're going on about is disobeying the master race. It's got nothing to do with human on human immoral behaviours, which is what crime means to me. That's what it meant to me when I was a child. You know, when a granny got her handbag stolen, that was crime. When somebody was subject to a speeding fine, it was like, well, that's kind of crime, because potentially they could cause an injury. But, you know, a granny, that's not sort of a potential of somebody caught, that's somebody that did cause like serious harm to a granny. You know, that to me was real crime. Whereas, you know, dictatorship, disobeying the dictatorship, it's not a crime at all. In fact, if anything, it can be quite an honourable thing to do, given what it is that you're disobeying. So the BBC are trying to, you know, scapegoat guilty parties within their organisation. But it's almost as if they say, so the BBC is now good and honest and upright and you should now trust it. Because look, we've highlighted these terrible people at the BBC. Oh, Jimmy Savile raped children. These people are raping the minds of children every single day. And all they talk about is sex of children, like Epstein Island. It's got nothing to do with vote rigging and the files that got took to Mar-a-Lago by Donald Trump because of anomalies in the voting system, which these files have evidence on. No, the Epstein files are about luxury sex parties on a Caribbean island. You know, the truth is very different from what you're being told. And, you know, this guy Samir Shah and Tim Davies and the various people, they're guilty. But, you know, the people who would, you know, put them at the front and say, look, there you go, we've found the guilty, there you go. No, every single one of these international courts to determine your guilt or innocence, the extent to which you're guilty of crimes against humanity. Until that day, the BBC, the European Broadcasting Union, and all the terrorist regimes that supported these ideologies will never be trusted by people who are of my ethnicity. Now, there's a difference between race, religion, and ethnicity. You know, there's two Jewish guys living in Iran right now, you know, and they're the last Jews in Iran. Because as you know, if you've been looking at the media, Iranians are Muslim and they hate the Jews. It's not actually the truth, but that's what you see on the media. That's the suggestion that they put before you. But let's go on. But you know, there's Isaac and there's Abraham, and there's two Jews. And the last two Jews live in Iran because they're so hostile, you know. And, you know, a news reporter comes up to Isaac and says, like, so Isaac, how does it feel to be Jewish in this evil, anti-Jewish country? And he's like, well, this country's not that evil, you know, I don't mind the Iranian people that surround me. But Abraham, I fucking hate Abraham. You know, there's a certain, and Abraham might be saying the same thing, you know, there's a certain, bit of fun and laughter, there's a certain understanding between Jews, whether they go to synagogue or not. And likewise, you know, Irish people have got a certain understanding, American people have certain understandings, Black people have certain understandings, Catholics have certain understandings. You know, that, and you know, some Catholics are right into, you know, go to church on a Sunday, and every day there's a holiday of obligation, always be in church. And there's some Catholics that don't bother. You know, they don't really share religion, you know, and, you know, there's a Black Catholic and there's a white Catholic, you know, it's a bit of a Venn diagram of stuff in regards to race and religion, but ethnicity is the traditions and the values and mores and values. So my ethnicity, in disregard of race or religion, is the ethnicity of people that opposed Adolf Hitler in these suicide clinics, these gas chambers, these gig economies, labour camps, these medical experiments, these COVID-19 vaccinations. It doesn't matter who commits these crimes against it, it's against the values of my ethnicity. And this is an ethnicity is like to somewhat Venn diagram shared by other people who are to some extent going along with Adolf Hitler policies, like surveillance apparatus. That was what the Gestapo did, monitored all the political dissidents in Nazi Germany. Now they've got all this electronic technology to do this to people who have, you know, not deliberately been out their way to destroy the system, but just woke up to it and been so heinously offended by what it is that the sheer shock of waking up to it has been enough to have them, you know, denounced as political dissidents. Oh, they're never going to admit politically, you know, as far as they're concerned, the only political opposition which exists in their system is the party on the opposite sides of the benches that were picked and chosen by the media corporations. That's for all other political opposition in the country. No publicity, doesn't exist, a fishing story. But the European Union was once a group of political dissidents called Federalists that were even given publicity in the Britain that existed before it. Not like big publicity, but just like enough so that people could understand what they were saying. And what they were saying is they wanted to dissolve the sovereignties of every nation in Europe to form a new empire called the European Union. That's what they were saying on television before the European Union took control of the BBC and the various other things before they went on to, you know, launch their currency and create this situation in Ukraine. So the next story, girl 13 arrested on suspicion of murdering women. Now that's a 13-year-old girl, and we don't know anything about it. We do know that the BBC are reporting this, and the BBC is completely untrustworthy. That girl 13 could be an innocent girl who's had, in order to control and own that girl, somebody could have murdered somebody. I was telling you, now whether it was this audiocast or a previous one, about a guy called Ian Huntley, who's never had a fair trial, who allegedly killed Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman. And the evidence for this is that Manchester United tops, which appear to be the girls' Manchester United tops, were found in his bin. And the bodies, the naked bodies of these children were found outside a US military base. And when he was, he was held in remand under suspicion that he had committed the murder because these, Manchester United tops were found in his bin. He had been psychologically played with while on remand, and he turned up in court completely blacked out, confused. He couldn't even present himself because of what they were doing to him on remand. I mean, these aren't innocent people that are, they're not just nobbling the juries when they're doing all their media coverage. They're also, nobbling the witnesses because they have that, it's not just propaganda. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on, shored up by the propagandist regime. Well, like, for example, you heard of Julian Assange, a big political prisoner, which is strangely anomalous given the real history of WikiLeaks that the BBC didn't report on. WikiLeaks was not a household name. I'll get to the point why I'm mentioning Julian Assange shortly, but Julian Assange was not a household name. WikiLeaks was not a household name. The way WikiLeaks operated was anonymity, not just for the people that were trying to, present information that they wanted WikiLeaks to publish, but the people inside WikiLeaks regarded their anonymity in the same way that you would regard your life for their own personal safety. In December 2009, WikiLeaks released an article saying there was credible evidence that WikiLeaks was about to be taken down imminently by an undisclosed US intelligence agency. 1 week later, WikiLeaks went down. And the only thing was left was a holding page directing people towards Twitter, which was well known to the people that were using WikiLeaks before it was a household name. The BBC would never mention it. They would refer to it as a media website, at best. And that holding page directing people to Twitter, divulging who was funding it, etc. That, 1 week after, that report came from the original WikiLeaks. It was only after that Julian Assange became known. These were people who regarded their anonymity, like they regarded their life, and now there's a celebrity person who had become a political prisoner all over the BBC. Now, meanwhile, I've got my eyes on various things that are going on in the world, and I come across this forum where a man has managed to get a mobile phone into Morton Hall Detention Removal Facility. I don't know where he comes from, but the language sounds a bit like Bulgarian or Romanian, somewhere of that area. He uses the word euthanasia, which means euthanasia. The man was begging to be killed by his captors. through a mobile phone that he'd sneaked into Morton Hall detention removal facility, a real political prisoner. And it's not on the BBC. The celebrities like Julian Assange with dubious starting periods, you know. That guy, you know, if 2 + 2 = 4 is an undisclosed US intelligence asset that was all over the media. Meanwhile, how many people were dying in Morton Hall? Suffering whatever it is, a person would have to suffer to want euthanasia in preference to what it was they were suffering there. Not a peep comes out of the BBC. They are complicit and they call themselves journalists. So they're saying a girl 13 arrested on suspicion of murdering a woman. You know, look, the power of a child is, look, they would murder someone blaming a child just to control that child's life. I wouldn't put that past them. It's the BBC. I don't know anything about this story, but the BBC has decided to tell me what I need to know about a story that's going on elsewhere. You know, it's like when I was saying the first headline, you know, there's protests going on throughout the country just now. And, you know, they're reporting on a protest going on in Brazil. Tiananmen Square, there's nothing going on in Tiananmen Square, just this protest in Brazil. You know, all these other, you know, suspicions of murders that's going on, they're not reporting on that, it's not newsworthy. So I've got no trust in the BBC, so they've reported a crime of a girl 13. But, you know, the girl 13 could be completely innocent. The BBC could have been involved in murdering the woman. That's what it's like to know what's really going on in this system that we're living in. Could be the girl is guilty, could be that she's just caught up in something, you know. But because it's the BBC and because it doesn't report anything about what the system's really up to, the child itself could be a victim of crimes against humanity and you don't get to see it. Well, the BBC are about to engage in jury nobbling in regards to this. So the next story is really straight. So, I mean, don't misunderstand. Like, there was a guy called Jamie Bulger that was two kids took a younger kid off to go and kill him, according to the media. I don't even know because I wasn't there. I was just told by the media. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past the media to have, you know, even manipulated the killers to have done that to a child so that they've got a story to tell the public. You know, saying, thou shalt not kill because that's the government's job. You know, to have stitched up those kids, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. I don't know, I really don't know. That's the truth of it. But people that watch the BBC think they know. But they've at best got half a story. Even the ones that are kind of halfway in the system, they're all compartmentalised. They can't even. There was this situation way back, it must be like 2005, something like that, when I was trying to meet up with like-minded people. Who were concerned about, you know, the state of our fake democracy, the state of our fake human rights. And I went to this, you know, meeting, and the only two people that turned up were former military guys. And, you know, I kind of realised what was going on at the time, you know, and I was like, right, so, well, then we got to this conversation, you know, it was like, what do you think the cause of all this, you know, upset people are not supportive of the system, that they're not, you know, they reject these, they're rejecting the government and stuff like that. Why are people becoming more anti-government? And I basically say to them, it's because the European Union, nobody ever voted for it. And when I said that, their words were, it's because of the internet then. And it was like, no, it's because of the European Union, nobody ever voted for it. They were incapable of taking on board my explicit words. And they must have reported back to their, you know, their intelligence handler that my view was it was the internet, when actually my view was it was the European Union. That's how fucked up their intelligence is. Well, the person at the bottom is incapable of reporting to the command structure what the truth is for the people on the ground. Because the people, you know, within that command structure are themselves corrupted and they don't want certain information going to their bosses. So, you know, they're fucked. Next story. Israeli strikes across Gaza kill 22 Palestinians, medical and civil defence officials say. Now, you have to realise that when Israel is dropping bombs on Gaza, that's genocide. But when things in the genocide convention are going on during peacetime, that's not genocide. You know, when there are policies put in place to deliberate the destruction of a proportion of a population, which includes, you know, taking the children of one group of people and giving them to another group of people, the things described in the genocide convention, that's not genocide, according to the BBC. According to the BBC, it's when Israel, the Jews, are dropping bombs on Gazans, that's genocide. But do you know, when my granny was alive, the Jews were recorded to people who stood up against genocide. And we're not talking about rich and wealthy, powerful people. We're just talking about people with a, you know, an understanding that what these Nazis were doing was wrong. And you know, the Nazis were, the Jews were not the first victims of the Nazis, the Germans were the first victims of the Nazis. This has not been reported my entire life by the BBC. You know, I'm saying that, you know, at some point I woke up to the fact that the European Union is a terrorist regime. What I was living in before, I don't know, but it was not accurate. The International Red Cross was the authorities, the impartial authorities at the time World War II ended. They were not involved in the Nazi side of the war, they were not involved in the Allied side of the war. They were living in Switzerland and partial and providing some humanitarian assistance that was not on either side of the war. At the end of the war, they were asked to compile the Holocaust story. And that's the authoritative truth at the time. What I've heard my whole life is 6 million Jews died in gas chambers, and there was a few gypsies that were caught up, and maybe some Slavs. But the actual reality of the Holocaust, as recorded by the International Red Cross, not the British Red Cross, but Committee International Geneva is the official name of it, is a very different story from that's being depicted in the BBC. My whole life, even before the European Union took control of it. My whole life, abortion's been getting normalised to the point where the morning after pill and killing babies at a convenience is now a normal thing. When they've got that power of control over the minds of the public, and they're claiming it's just this guy, then they're claiming it's just this guy, you know, Samir Shah, that's responsible for all the crimes at the BBC, that everybody's aware the BBC is stitching people up left, right and centre. It's just Samir Shah. He wouldn't even be working at the BBC when there were people in place slowly encouraging people to kill their babies. That's genocide. And they want us to believe it's when the Jews dropped bombs in Gaza, because they remember that the Jews gave a punch to these feudal overlords when they arose in Nazi Germany. And there's so many people now on board with the feudal overlords, and see if, you know, it came back to a point where it was like very, do you know what they did to the Jews? It probably wouldn't be the Jews this time, you know, we probably remember what they did to the Muslims. And, you know, if it ever came back that way, all these people that supported the feudal overlords would say, ah, now we support the Muslims now. Now, we all supporting the Muslims. And watch out for the people that supported Nigel Farage. They're evil people. They hate the Muslims. But the people they falsely led supported Nigel Farage rejected the war on terror. Because our concern was not about the freedom of the people in Iraq. Our concern was about the freedom of the people in Britain, which the BBC did not give a shit about while warmongering for their war in Iraq. The latest war is now their war in Russia, or their war in Ukraine. But they try to make it look, oh, it's the taxpayers' war in Ukraine. It's the country's war in Ukraine. It's, you know, it's not the guilty, it's all the innocent people that they're trying to gather with them into their mob violence. And they'll say, oh, watch out, because those, you know, the poor people can be dangerous criminals when you look at what they're actually doing every single day, both domestically and abroad. So, you know, they've got this narrative about genocide only occurs when Jews are dropping bombs in Gazans. It's funny how they don't mention, you don't like Vladimir Putin dropping bombs in Ukrainians. And they don't mind Vladimir Zelensky dropping bombs in Ukrainians and Russians. You don't call that genocide, and the Vladimir Putin they hate, they don't call that genocide just when the Jews are dropping bombs. But the actual genocide convention, what the BBC has been all about my entire fucking life. Genocide. Killing off the poor. So that the rich can live in the luxury of the taxes that can be extracted from those they're just enslaving to cradle to grave. And you think the conspiracy theorists are the people who are mentally ill, the people who are deceived, and we're living this every single day. Do you give a shit? Hey, so the last story that I want to cover from the BBC is La Voix, the French V-O-I-X, La Voix, the voice maybe drops out of Strictly after injury. So Strictly is basically, there's a programme on their television called Strictly Come Dancing. Of course it's television, so there's going to be all sorts of, like, you know, soap opera police. You know, the police that appear in soap opera are brave, courageous people. They always do right and they always catch their man, you know. So even Strictly, even though it's just people dancing, there's going to be all kinds of things, the agenda threaded into that entertainment purposes only broadcast. I've never watched it before, but I know what the media is all about. I know it'll be there, and I'll be able to, you know, if I watched it with you, I could sit there and point out, there you go, and you'd be like, you'd be annoyed at me, you know, pointing out the agenda as you're sitting there wanting to watch the dancing, you know. But I don't watch it because I'm not interested in the way they subtly introduce their agenda by ways that it sort of undermines your consciousness, you know. You're not even consciously aware that they're manipulating your mind while you're being entertained by their shit. So they're basically selling their own TV show, Strictly Come Dancing, or Strictly as it's called, by saying, oh, big news, celebrities. There's a man that's going to die tonight of freezing cold conditions, hungry, homeless. It's not news. There are people sanctioned from the dole tonight who don't have anything to eat. And, you know, there might be news about things going on in the third world, but that's not covered in the news. Celebrity gossip, that's covered in the news. The news of the Epstein files has got nothing to do with lavish sex parties and luxury islands in the Caribbean. That's not newsworthy. The news that the European Union was involved in the annexation of Ukraine has never been reported by the BBC, nor has the annexation of the United Kingdom's thing before the European Union was formed. That's never been reported in the news. It's celebrities. It's celebrity gossip and TV show. That's news. This is not news. This is propaganda. It's there to deceive your mind into believing a fake reality. You know, it's not just like one lie. It's a whole dedicated pile of fraudsters, liars, doing this as a normal thing. Their goal is not to relate to you what they believe the truth is. Their goal is to relate to you, to persuade you to believe things that they don't even care whether it's true or not. It's their job to persuade you of that, and they don't even care whether it's the truth or not. And you're surrounded by people that are consuming this stuff. They're unprepared to actually hear your concerns about it. And they would say, we're your friends, we're your neighbours. And it's like, well, you're my friends, you're my neighbours, if you're sharing my ethnicity, why are you watching TV? Didn't you know about Adolf Hitler? Didn't you know about the Adolf Hitler propaganda ministry? Didn't you know about Soviet propaganda? What about the surveillance apparatus in East Germany? Were you not opposed to that? How can you have the same ethnicity as me, the same mores and values as me, and you watch TV? That's what it's like to be what that system calls a nutty conspiracy theorist. So, that's my audio cast. Thanks for listening.